Welcome to Zichu Daf Sim Money Member by Ram Goldar and today Masechus Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Lamed Vav, the 8th Perek, Yesh Nochlin. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states that if one writes his properties to his son, but wants to retain the produce during his lifetime, Reb Yudah says, Sarak sheyichtov mehayom lachar misa, he must write that the gift should take effect from today and after death. The Gemara explains that this indicates that the gufa, the principal, the land itself, is acquired by his son immediately, and the pera, the produce, is acquired only after he dies. Rabbi Yossi argues and says he does not have to write mehayom. When Rabbi Bar Avuha was ill, Rav Huna told Rav Nachman to ask him if the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. Rav Nachman responded that he did not even know Rabbi Yossi's reasoning. How can he ask if the halacha follows him? Rav Huna said he would explain Rabbi Yossi's reason afterwards. After Rabbi Bar Avuha told Rav Nachman the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi, Rav Huna explained that Rabbi Yossi holds Zmano Shel Shtar Mochiach Olav. The Shtar's date proves when it should take effect. There's no purpose in writing a date in the Shtar unless he wants it to take effect from that time. Point number two, the Mishnah taught where a father gifted his son property from today and after death, such that the son owns the guf and the father retains the peros, that neither can unilaterally sell the land now because of the rights of the other. If the father sells it, the buyer enjoys his rights of the produce until the father dies. If the son sells it, the buyer has nothing until the father dies, when the son would inherit the land. Amram discussed the law if the son sold the property and died before the father. Rabbi Yochanan says the buyer does not acquire the land even when the father dies because he holds kinyan peros kekinyan aguftami. Ownership of the right to the property's produce is tantamount to ownership of the principal itself. Since the father was considered the primary owner, it emerges that the son sold property which never became his, so the sale is void. Reish Lakish holds the buyer does acquire the property after the father because he holds kinyan peros is not kekinyan aguf. Since the son is the primary owner, his sale is valid. And point number three, the Gemara asks if Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish already argued elsewhere about kinyan peros. If one sells his field for a right to its produce, Rabbi Yochanan says maybe Vikora, the buyer brings Bikurim and recites the Bikurim Psukim because his kinyan peros is sufficient to consider him the property's owner. Reish Lakish says he brings Bikurim but does not recite the Psukim because his kinyan peros is insufficient to consider him the owner. The Gemara explains that both arguments were necessary. If Rabbi Yochanan only taught kinyan peros is kekinyan aguf in general, such as regarding Bikurim, one might still think that where one gifts his son, Abu Gabi Bre Achu Achil, a father forgoes more towards his son and gives him the physical property completely. Although he retains the peros, he does not retain it as a kinyan aguf. If Reish Lakish had only taught that kinyan peros is not kekinyan aguf generally, one would have thought Kol Gabi Navshe, that where everyone retains peros for himself, he cares more about himself, even vis-a-vis his son, and retains principal ownership through the peros. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish restated their opinions in our case. So once again, the three points are, number one, the next Mishnah states that if one writes his properties to his son but wants to retain the produce during his lifetime, Rabbi Yudah says, Sarach sheyichtov mehayom lachar misa, he must write that the gift should take effect from today and after death. The Gemara explains that this indicates that the gufa, the principal, the land itself, is acquired by his son immediately, and the pera, the produce, is acquired only after he dies. Rabbi Yossi argues and says he does not have to write mehayom. When Rabbi Bar Avuha was ill, Rav Huna told Rav Nachman to ask him if the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. Rav Nachman responded that he did not even know Rabbi Yossi's reasoning. How can he ask if the halacha follows him? Rav Huna said he would explain Rabbi Yossi's reason afterwards. After Rabbi Bar Avuha told Rav Nachman the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi, Rav Huna explained that Rabbi Yossi holds Zmano Shel Shtar Mochiach Olav. The Shtar's date proves when it should take effect. There's no purpose in writing a date in the Shtar unless he wants it to take effect from that time. Point number two, the Mishnah taught where a father gifted his son property from today and after death, such that the son owns the guf and the father retains the peros, that neither can unilaterally sell the land now because of the rights of the other. If the father sells it, the buyer enjoys his rights of the produce until the father dies. If the son sells it, the buyer has nothing until the father dies, when the son would inherit the land. Amram discussed the law if the son sold the property and died before the father. Rabbi Yochanan says the buyer does not acquire the land even when the father dies because he holds kinyan peros kekinyan aguftami. Ownership of the right to the property's produce is tantamount to ownership of the principal itself. Since the father was considered the primary owner, it emerges that the son sold property which never became his, so the sale is void. Reish Lakish holds the buyer does acquire the property after the father because he holds kinyan peros is not kekinyan aguf. Since the son is the primary owner, his sale is valid. And point number three, the Gemara asks if Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish already argued elsewhere about Kinyan Peros. If one sells his field for a right to its produce, Rabbi Yochanan says, maybe Vekora, the buyer brings Bikorim and recites the Bikorim Psukim because his Kinyan Peros is sufficient to consider him the property's owner. Reish Lakish says he brings Bikorim but does not recite the Psukim because his Kinyan Peros is insufficient to consider him the owner. The Gemara explains that both arguments were necessary. If Rabbi Yochanan only taught Kinyan Peros is Kekinyan Aguf in general, such as regarding Bikurim, one might still think that where one gifts his son, Abu Gabi Brei Achu Achil, a father forgoes more towards his son and gives him the physical property completely. Although he retains the Peros, he does not retain it as a Kinyan Aguf. If Reish Lakish had only taught that Kinyan Peros is not Kekinyan Aguf generally, one would have thought Kol Gabi Navshe, that where everyone retains Peros for himself, he cares more about himself, even vis-a-vis his son, and retains principal ownership through the peros. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish restated their opinions in our case. All right, so now we go to our simmer daf kuf lamed vav, and our standard simmon is a clue. A clue, so here goes. The Beis Din, who used the date and shtar as a clue to determine when it took effect, Mahayom Lacher Misa, tried to notify the father that even though his son sold the field, he would still get the whole field upon the untimely death of his son because Kinyan Aperos is Kinyan Aguf. But the father was already on his way to bring his Bikurim and recite the Bikurim Psukim. Once again, slow motion. The Beis Din, who used the date and shtar as a clue. Clue? That must be more on Daf Kuf Lamed Vav. The Beis Din, who used the date and shtar as a clue to determine when it took effect, Mahayom Lacher Misa, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if one writes his properties to his son, but wants to retain the produce during his lifetime, Rabbi Yehuda says, Sarach Sheyichtov Mahayom Lacher Misa, he must write that the gift should take effect from today and after death. The Gemara explains that this indicates that the gufa, the principal, the land itself, is acquired by his son immediately, and the pera, the produce, is acquired only after he dies. Rabbi Yossi argues and says he does not have to write mehayom. Rabbi Yossi holds zmano shel shtar mochiach lav. The shtar's date proves when it should take effect. There is no purpose in writing a date in the shtar unless he wants it to take effect from that time. So the Beis Din used the date and the shtar as a clue to determine when it took effect, Mehayom Lacher Misa, tried to notify the father that even though his son sold the field, he would still get the whole field upon the untimely death of the son because Kinyan Aperos is Kekinyan Aguf, which reminds us the Mishnah taught that where a father gifted his son property from today and after death, such that the son owns the guf and the father retains the peros, that neither can unilaterally sell the land now because of the rights of the other. If the father sells it, the buyer enjoys his rights of the produce until the father dies. If the son sells it, the buyer has nothing until the father dies, when the son would inherit the land. Amoraim discussed the law if the son sold the property and died before the father. So the Beis Din used the Danish star as a clue to determine when it took effect, Mehayom Lacher Misa, tried to notify the father that even though his son sold the field, he would still get the whole field upon the untimely death of the son because Kinyan Haperos is Kekinyan Aguf, but the father was already on his way to bring his Bikurim and recite the Bikurim Psukim, which reminds us, the Gemara asks if Yochanan and Reish Lakish already argued elsewhere about Kinyan Peros. If one sells his field for right to its produce, Rabbi Yochanan says, maybe Vekore, the buyer brings Bikurim and recites the Bikurim Psukim because his Kinyan Peros is sufficient to consider him the property's owner. Reish Lakish says he brings Bikurim but does not recite the Psukim because his Kinyan Peros is insufficient to consider him the owner. The Gemara explains that both arguments were necessary. So once again, the Beis Din, who used the date and the shtar as a clue to determine when it took effect, Mehayom Lacher Misa, tried to notify the father that even though his son sold the field, he would still get the whole field upon the untimely death of the son because Kinyan Aperos is Kekinyan Aguf, but the father was already on his way to bring his Bikurim and recite the Bikurim Psukim. All right, so now it's time for four Blabach Hazara. Daf Kuf Lamed Beis. So the symbol for Daf Kuf Lamed Beis is a club or clubhouse. So here goes. After the wife ripped up her husband's gift to her of his estate to keep the family clubhouse, that must be more on Daf Kuf Lamed Beis. After the wife ripped up her husband's gift to her of his estate to keep the family clubhouse from his balchov, which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa that if one writes all his properties to his wife in a case where the gift takes effect, as Gemara will explain, and then someone produced a shtar chov against the husband's property, which preceded the gift, but not the ksuba. Rabbi Eliezer says, Tikra matnasa, she rips up her gift, but tamod al ksubasa, and stands upon her ksuba, meaning he holds she never relinquished her ksuba shibud on the land. The gift only enhanced her rights here, where she would lose the gift to the preceding debt. She may still collect it for her preceding ksuba. The Chachamim say she does relinquish her ksuba's shibud. So after the wife ripped up her husband's gift to her of his estate to keep the family clubhouse from his balkov, and the husband discovered that the son he thought had died overseas returned alive after he had given away his estate to others, which reminds us, a Bryce estate said if one son traveled abroad and his father heard he died and wrote his entire estate to others, after which the son returned, the Tanakhama says the gift remains valid. But Rabbi Shimon Menasseh says, his gift is not valid, for had he known his son would return, he would not have written his possessions away. Rav Nachman rules like Rabbi Shimon Menasseh, showing that he does follow the umdana of the person's mindset. So after the wife ripped up her husband's gift to her of his estate to keep the family clubhouse from his balkov, and the husband discovered that the son he thought had died overseas returned alive after he had given away his estate to others, the husband decided to just transfer the clubhouse to his son, since he was confident his wife would surely say that it's okay. Which reminds us, a Mishnah states that if one wrote his properties to his sons and wrote his wife land of even minimal size, she forfeited her ksubas shibud on the property given to the sons. A Maraim offer three interpretations which are all disproven from the Sefer, where Rabbi Yossi says, im kibo aleha, if she verbally accepted the loss of her shibud, even if he did not write any land to her, she forfeited her ksubas shibud. Rav Nachman rules like Rabbi Yossi that either is sufficient and explains, since he made her a partner among the sons by giving her property, she forfeited her ksubas shibud. Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. So the similar Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel is a clog. So here goes. When the Shechime Ra gave away his entire estate, including his diamond studded clogs? That must be on Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. When the Shechime Ra gave away his entire estate, including his diamond-studded clogs, to a non-relative, without specifying if it was a gift or an inheritance, which reminds us, Ravuna said that if a Shechime Ra wrote all his property to someone, but did not specify if it was given as a Yerusha or a gift, we examine the recipient's relation to him. If the recipient is fit to inherit him as an heir, notum mishum Yerusha, he takes the properties as a Yerusha. Vimlav, notum mishum Matana, if not, he takes them as a gift. Ravuna holds like Rabbi Yochum and Broca that one can redistribute his inheritance, and the benefactor presumably means to use whichever method is effective. So when the Shechime Ra gave away his entire estate, including his diamond set of clogs, to a non-relative, without specifying if it was a gift or an inheritance, disinheriting his son who is not Noah Keshura, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Akosiv as Nachosiv La'acherim, if one writes away his possessions to others, V'niach as Banav, and leaves his children with nothing, Masha Asa Asui, what he has done, he's done, El Ein Ruach Chachami Noah Chachmenu, but the sages are not pleased with him since he undermined the Torah's law of inheritance. Rav Mishnah Ben Gamliel says, Im Lohi Ubanav Noachim Keshura, if his sons were not acting properly, Zachu Latov, he's remembered for good, meaning his action was honorable. So, when the Shechime Ra gave away his entire estate, including his diamond set of clogs, to a non-relative, without specifying if it was a gift or an inheritance, disinheriting his son who was not Noah Keshura, his son learned his lesson, and when he found a different pair of diamond set of clogs inside a fish, he sold them to Hekdesh at a great price, which reminds us the Gemara brings the mice of Yossi ben Yoezer, who disinherited his son, who ended up selling a jewel he found to Hekdesh for less than its value. Kuf Lamed Daled, so the Simmer Daf Kuf Lamed Daled is a cloud. So here goes. The birds flying under the cloud, that must be one Daf Kuf Lamed Daled. The birds flying under the cloud and getting burned as they flew over a great sage learning, which reminds us, it was taught in the Braisa that Hillel HaZaken had 80 Talmidim. 30 of them were Ruim Shetishu Alehem Shechina K'Moshe Rabbeinu, fit that the Shechina should rest on them as it did on Moshe Rabbeinu. 30 of them were Ruim Shetamud Alehem Chama K'Yeshua Ben Nun, fit for the sun to stand for them as it did for Yeshua Ben Nun. And there were 20 between these groups. The greatest of them all was Yonos and Bunziel, and the least of them was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. They said of Rabbi Yonos and Bunziel, B'shal Sheyoshev Osip G'Torah, at the time he was sitting and studying Torah, Ko'ov Shaporeya Cholav Nisraf, any bird flying over him was burned. So the birds flying under the cloud and getting burned as they flew over a great sage learning, drop from the sky and landed on the head of a man who was not believed when he said that he divorced his wife in the past, which reminds us, Rav Yosef added, Baal Sha'amar Geirashti as Ishti Ne'aman, a husband who says, I divorce my wife, is believed, since he can divorce her at any time. Based on a contradiction of Rav Yochanan's opinion, the Gemara concludes that the husband is not believed l'mafreya when he claims to have divorced her in the past, which is not currently in his power, and he is believed l'haba regarding the future, meaning he claims to divorce her now. So the birds flying under the cloud and getting burned as they flew over a great sage learning, dropped from the sky and landed on the head of a man who was not believed when he said he divorced his wife in the past, as others question whether Pagin Dibura, and he should be believed regarding the future, which reminds us, having established that the man is believed to say he just divorced his wife, but not to say he divorced her in the past, the Gemara asks, Amar Lama Freya, if he said he divorced her in the past, what's the halacha about believing him only regarding the future? Mipal Ginin Dibur, do we divide his statement and accept the fact of the divorce, but not the date? Or is his statement not accepted at all, since it cannot be fully accepted? The Gemara will distinguish between dividing testimony when it comes to two people, such as in the case of an adulterer and the witness's wife, versus dividing the testimony when it comes to one person, such as the divorce of his wife. Daf Kuf Lamed Hey, so the sim for Daf Kuf Lamed Hey is Kola. So here goes. When the woman whose dying husband said he had no brothers spilled her Kola, that must have been on Daf Kuf Lamed Hey. When the woman whose dying husband said he had no brothers spilled her Kola after hearing there were witnesses overseas that said he had, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a case where a man who was presumed not to have brothers claimed the same when he was dying. Rav Yosef declared there was no concern that his wife was subject to Yibum, but Abai objected that people were saying that there were Edim in Medina Sayyam who know that this man has brothers. Rav Yosef replied with a quote of Rabbi Hanin about a captive woman's status regarding Kohanim. Edei batzad estam v'tiaser, there are supposedly witnesses in the north who are not present to testify, and she should be forbidden? We're not concerned about possible witnesses who are absent. Abai responded that there is a difference between a shvuya and a married woman. So when the woman whose dying husband said he had no brothers spilled her Kola after hearing there were witnesses overseas that said he had, it splashed onto a man telling his brothers dividing their inheritance that the man standing behind him was their brother, which reminds the Gemara teaches that if one says, Ze'achi, this is my brother, the other brothers are not required to share the estate with him. So when the woman whose dying husband said he had no brothers spilled her Kola after hearing there were witnesses overseas that said he had, it splashed onto a man telling his brothers dividing their inheritance that the man standing beside him was their brother. As the brothers discussed what they should do when their father instructed them, write and give my soda machine to Ploni, and then died before it was done, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if someone dies in a daitiki, a dying man's will was attached to his thigh. Its instructions are not followed, since he may have only intended to give the gift with the shtar, which can no longer be given. Rav Shivzi quoted Rav Elazar saying that if a shchimera said, write and give a mana to Ploni, and he died before it was done, we do not carry out his instructions. Shemu lo gamar haknoso el b'shtar, for perhaps he only decided to give it to him through the shtar, ve'ein shtar l'achermisa, and a shtar is not effective after his death. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do we discuss a case of one who wrote all his property to his wife and then the husband's debtor came to collect it? That's on Duff. Kuflamid Beis. Good. Number two, which stuff did we learn about Rav Yochanan of Broca's opinion that one can redistribute his inheritance? That's on Duff. Kuflamid. Good. Number three, which stuff did we learn about if a Shchimera said, write and give a mana to Ploni, and he died before it was done, we do not carry out his instructions? That's on Duff. Kuflamid Hey. Good. Number four, which stuff to discuss writing in a shtar mehayom lachamisa and Rabbi Yossi's opinion that zmanu shel shtar mochia cholav? That's on Daf. Kuflamid Vav. Good. Number five, which stuff to learn that writing away all of one's possessions to his wife is merely an appointment of her as an apotropos? That's on Daf. Kuflamid Av. Good. Number six, which stuff of a case where a son who owns the land's peros tries to sell the land? Lagabi the malchokas of kinyan peros kinyan aguf? That's on Daf. Kuflamid Vav. Good. Number seven, which stuff of a question of what to do when there are rumors that a man who died had brothers regarding Yibum? That's on Daf. Kuflamid Hey. Good. Number eight, which stuff do we discuss whether we are pogging the Bura and apply to the case of one said he divorced his wife in the past, whether he's believed regarding the future? That's on Daf. Kuflamid Dalet. Good. Number nine, which stuff do the Malchukas of Kinyan Peres Kinyan Aguf and its application to the question of whether one recites the Psukim of Bikurim? That's on Daf. Kuflamid Vav. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do the case of someone who heard his son died in Medina Sayyam and wrote away his possessions and then his son returned? That's on Daf. Kuflamid Beis. Excellent. That concludes the day's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.